Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, Lord, just to live in America, especially, Lord, here in the Valley. What a beautiful spring time it has been these last couple of days. Lord, thank you so much for that. We ask you, Lord, that you would take the next few moments, Lord, illuminate the Word of God in our hearts. Lord, help us to see truth. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, this morning, would you please let us see truth? Let us see truth about you, truth about ourselves. Lord, may we act or respond accordingly. God, help us this day to make a decision in our heart, in our lives, that would bring honor and glory to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd like to draw our attention once again to biblical principles for practical living. I still am of the belief that God's word for us is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm glad about the Christian faith. It's not something we visit on the weekends and then go about our regular business the rest of the week. I'm glad it's a relationship, not a religion. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's a person. We can have fellowship. We can have friendship and a relationship with him. It's not a cheap religion. It's a great faith because he's a great God. Jesus is a great man. He's God-man and man-God. He's a great person, and what a wonderful person he is. And thank God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, providing for us free salvation. God demands righteousness in order for us to enter into heaven. Of course, man doesn't have any righteousness. He can't earn any righteousness. He can't derive any righteousness. The only hope he has is if somebody gives him. Of course, nobody else has it either, except God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us his righteousness, imputes it on our account, and God is satisfied. The wrath of God is satisfied, and we can now enter to heaven because we have righteousness, but that righteousness is from Jesus Christ, the gift that is given to us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I hope this morning you have trusted Christ and receive the righteousness of Jesus by faith so that you too can enter heaven. If you have not, you have none of your own, you can't buy any, you can't earn it, you'll die without Christ and go to hell unless you receive Christ's righteousness so that God's wrath will be appeased on your account. Anyway, sort of sidetracked there. Perhaps the Lord has a use for that. But in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7, I want to sort of back up. I've gotten into this last week, but I want to go back and visit verse 7. It's speaking of the mouth or the words or how we use our words. The Bible says a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. It's that last phrase there, and his lips are the snare of his soul, that I'd like to spend a few moments this morning before we progress on further into this chapter. That phrase, his lips are the snare of his soul. You know what God is teaching us, a very good principle here. Sometimes our mouth gets us into trouble that we wouldn't get into trouble if we would just keep our mouth shut. You know, sometimes we human beings, we just have a hard time keeping our mouth shut. We just feel like we've got to say what's on our mind. And you know, the Bible says, a fool uttereth all his words, but a wise man keepeth them to afterwards. And many times, even Christians have a hard time keeping their mouth or their tongue tied. They just got to say something. They just have to, you know, give their two cents. They just have to make some declaration. Well, the Bible says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The truth of it is, there's not a person who's living and listening today who doesn't at some time in his or her life act foolish. And I can guarantee you, I sometimes act foolish, not because I want to, but because when I look at the Bible and I see what the Bible calls foolish behavior, and I look at my life and I say, you know what, God, I have to admit, sometimes I act foolish. And so this thought this morning, you ought to give attention to. You may not be a fool, and I certainly wouldn't call you one. That's between you and God. But I certainly would say this. Many times, many of us act foolish. Even though we may not be a fool, we can act foolish. and act like a fool. I remember my mother when I was growing up, son, quit acting like a fool or quit acting foolish. And the truth of it is, I'm 52 years old and I still act foolish, not because I'm being silly or whatever, but because I'm being disobedient to God. And God's word teaches me what's foolish and what isn't. But as we look at this, it says his lips are the snare of his soul. You know, there's a lesson to be learned here, and that is this. You know, you and I need to be oh so careful with the words that we say and how we say them and when we say them. There's some great examples in the Bible. In our Bibles, in the book of Judges, in chapter 11, in the accounts of all the judges that God used, men of old that were used to judge Israel of old, the ninth judge of Israel was Jephthah. Now Jephthah was the Bible teaches us he was the son of a harlot in Gilead. Gilead had more children, and they grew up and cast Jephthah out. And so Jephthah's out of the scene. But all of a sudden, Amnon comes, and they're going to battle against Israel. And Israel realizes that they don't have anybody to lead them, so they go to Jephthah, because Jephthah was a great man of war. And so they go to him, and they bargain with him to come back and be their leader. He agrees to that, and then as he's getting ready to go to battle with Amnon, the Bible teaches us he makes a vow, a very foolish vow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Amnon to my hands, then it shall be that whosoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Amnon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now that's a foolish vow, because Jephthah didn't have any idea who was or what was going to be the first thing that walked out of his house. And of course, as we continue to read, we find out that as he goes, he fights the battle, God does give a great victory. He returns, and the first thing or person that comes out of his door or his tent is his daughter, his only daughter. And now he's in a conundrum, if you would. Does he keep his word and sacrifice her to the Lord? Or does he say, well, I didn't really mean that, God. That's not what I meant. So you can't hold me to that. That's not what I didn't mean that, God. I didn't mean that. So often we hear people do that. They make some declaration. They make some statement. And then when they're found out and they're caught in it, they say, well, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I didn't mean it that way. No, 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 no. That's not right. That's not what I meant. But that's what you said. That's what you said. You see, when you say something, you're bound by your word. I thank God for my dad. My dad taught me when I was growing up. He said, son, once you tell somebody you're going to do it, you're done. It's done. You can't undo it. You have to go do that unless you're hindered, you know, medically speaking or providentially hindered, where you just literally physically can't be there. You've got to go do what you've said you're going to do because you've given your word. So often they hear somebody say, well, I didn't promise. You know, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. This silly idea that we have to say, well, I didn't promise, therefore you can't hold me accountable. That's utter foolishness. That's a life without character, without integrity. You know, even an immoral, an unbeliever has enough sense sometimes to realize, you know, man's not much more than his word's value is. And so God certainly is going to hold us valuable. And so Jephthah, he had to do what he said he would do, and he did it. What a foolish vow he made to God. That his lips were a snare to his soul. And he suffered the rest of his life because of this foolish vow he made to the Lord. Sometimes we make foolish vows to one another. Maybe we make foolish vows even to God. Be careful what God is saying to us. Be careful what you say. Don't get so hasty in your words. Don't be so quick to say everything that comes across your mouth, or your tongue rather, or your mind. Don't just let everything out of the bag, so to speak. Be wise enough to say, you know what, I don't have to say everything that enters into my mind or it makes its way onto my lips and my tongue. You don't have to say it just because you think it. There's another example. We look in our Bibles in the book of 1 Samuel and we think of King Saul. King Saul had made a foolish declaration. The Bible says, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, and Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Of course, in that day's events, there was a great battle, but Jonathan wasn't there, Saul's son, when he made that declaration, made that statement. Now, the Israel knew it, but Jonathan wasn't. He was off, and he's fighting the battle, and he goes into the valley and sees some honey, takes it and puts it in his mouth. He's revived. Long story short, Saul finds out that what Jonathan done, he says he's got to die. Now, that was pretty foolish to say if anybody puts anything in their mouth, they're going to die, not knowing who would. And number one, it just in and of itself, in my opinion, it was a foolish declaration, much less not knowing who would do it. But Jonathan did. And had it not been for Israel standing up and saying to Saul, no, you won't either. You're not going to do that. The Lord's brought great victory through that. You'll not do that. And his life was spared. But Saul made a foolish declaration. His lips had snared his soul. We look in our Bibles in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, Herod's promise. Herodias, remember, John the Baptist had said to King Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife, which would have been his sister-in-law, which was Herodias. Of course, Herodias was angry at that. She was mad, and she couldn't really get at John the Baptist, but eventually Herodias' daughter dances before Herod and pleases him, and he makes this declaration, and he swears unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask me, I will give it thee, and to the half of my kingdom. Now he's done that in front of everybody. Whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, I'll give it to you. So Herodias' daughter, she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said immediately, if you would, the head of John the Baptist. And she came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will thou give by me and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Herod made a foolish statement, a foolish declaration. He was snared by the lips. He made a statement, made it publicly, and not knowing what she would ask. And she asked for John the Baptist's head. He's stuck. He either has to be seen as a fraud, somebody that can't be trusted with his word, or he has to go through with it. He has snared his soul. And, of course, John the Baptist paid the ultimate price for it. What I'm saying this morning is, and I hope God is speaking to our hearts, you know, sometimes we make some silly statements. I guess the practical lesson would simply be this. Learn to slow down when you speak and make such declarations. You know, sometimes we emotionally say, we respond to circumstances, and we say things. For example, you may say to a friend who's in a hard time, you know, you don't worry about it, I'll pay for it, and you never did. You may say to somebody, listen, if you go off to, serve the Lord as a missionary, you can bank on me, I'll be there, I'll send you money every month. And you haven't sent them any money, but you told them that you would. I remember years ago when I got out of the Air Force and I was going to Bible college, and I sort of stopped by where my extended family lives, and some of my extended family members, they were pretty excited. You know, one of the families going to Bible college, and a couple of them, unbeknownst to me and certainly unprompted by me, made a declaration, oh man, we're going to help you. We're going to support you while you're at college. You know, I never saw one red cent from them. Now, the truth of it is, I didn't want any. I never asked for any. I never even entered my mind that subject would be brought up. They just brought it up themselves. They never sent a dime. Now, am I mad at them? Absolutely not. Never expected anything. Certainly wasn't asking them of it. But they were snared. Now, that's between them and God. So what I'm saying this morning, there's probably somebody who's listening today. You've told somebody, maybe you told your wife you were going to do something, but you haven't done it. You're snared by your words now. You need to do what you said you were going to do. And we also need to learn not be so quick to make statements and promises. You say, well, I didn't promise. Well, if you said you were going to do it, that's it. You got to do it. Your integrity's online. Your character's online. Your reputation's online. We have enough problems in Christianity today to let something like this that's so easily remedied is, you know, just be a man of character. Be a lady of character. When you say you're going to do it, then do it. If you say you're going to give it, give it. If you say you won't do it, then don't do it. In other words, just be a person who is found to have integrity in your words. Don't make foolish vows. Don't be as this one where his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, the truth of it is, all of us have snared our souls already by saying things that we shouldn't have said. And I'm sure many of us, and I know I'm one of them, who have not done things that we said we would do. And I'm sure there's things I don't even remember saying I would do and didn't do it. Shame on me. Absolutely shame on me. And may I say for you, shame on you, if that falls in your lap as well. Shame on us when we are so quick to say grandiose things. Oh, we'll do this, and I'll be there, and I'll support this, and all these things. Then we never do it. Shame on us. Absolutely shame on us. May God help us to have integrity this morning. May God help us to take the seriousness of the words that we use and use them properly. Well, my time is up. I trust that what has been said today would be a blessing, but also an encouragement and a challenge. And may God help you. If you're struggling, if you've made a statement to somebody or a vow to God and you haven't come through, reevaluate your life. And you need to make a decision. I need to go to that person and make this thing right. Maybe I need to go to God and make it right. I may need to go to my spouse or my child and make it right, or my boss and make it right. But you've been snared by your words. Now go and act upon that and be mature enough, be Christ-like enough to do what you said you were going to do. And then in the future, be careful. Unless you really plan on doing it, be careful. Don't say everything that comes across your mind. May God help us to glean the wisdom from this. May God help us to make a practical application. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.